Every morning, the sun rises over the horizon and light breaks into a dark world. Once a day, 7 days a week, 365 times a year, light breaks into a dark world. It is a reenactment of creation. The earth was formless and void. A chaotic mass, darkness was over the surface of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. Light broke into a dark world. The author of the Gospel of John says that when Jesus stepped over heaven's horizon and into human history, that again, light broke into a dark world. It was a reenactment of creation. And it was also more. It was also the beginning of a new creation, the restoration of God's whole good world. The Creator God is the Redeemer God, says John. And he who spoke in the beginning is speaking again through Jesus. I invite you just to listen to these famous words from the opening of the Gospel of John once again this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Light broke into a dark world, John says, and then it just kept on breaking into the lives of human beings, breaking into their pain, breaking into their relationships, breaking into their homes, breaking into their churches, their workplaces, their social clubs, and always and ever breaking into their sin and its consequences. The light broke into the life of a man named Nicodemus, who ironically came to Jesus at night. And Nicodemus began seeing himself and the world in a completely different way. The light broke into the life of a Samaritan woman at a well who had had a hard go of it in her relationship with men. And she was made joyful and whole. As David Reed once put it, the woman at the well became a well, springing up into eternal life because of her encounter with this light. The light broke into the life of a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years, and he left, walking in health, able to dance a jig. The light broke in, and then it just kept on breaking in to the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dumb, the hopeless, and even the dead. To Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and Luke, to the body, the soul, and the head. The light broke in to heal this world and rescue the sons of men, to redeem us all from death's dark song in the image of God again. And dear friends, that light that broke into the world continues to break into the world today. The simple message of Christmas and the simplicity that we return to this morning and throughout this weekend is just this. Jesus Christ, for whom the angels sang and still sing, wants to break into your life and into mine, into all the particulars, into every nook and cranny, into every square inch and eighth inch of our lives where darkness still hides and finds covers to conceal itself, to break into the homes where we struggle and strive to live in the community that we actually long for, to break into our marriages, to break into our love relationships, to break into our sex lives and sexuality, to break into our finances and giving habits, to break into the way we raise our children, to break into the way we talk about other people who let us down, to break into our body-destroying habits and soul-destroying addictions, to break into our tendencies to say things, to cut other people down in order to lift ourselves up, to break into our computers and cookie files, to break into our judgmentalism and reductionistic thinking, to break into our fears, to break into our television watching, to break into our apathies and improper antipathies, to break into it all our sin and the areas where it has crept in order that the light might shine and overcome the residual darkness. But here's the catch. Here's the little bit of complexity in the simplicity at Christmas time. For the light to break into our worlds, we will have to be willing to be broken into. The light shines in the darkness, says John, but the darkness has not understood it, or in an alternate translation, the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness does not overcome the light. Light overcomes darkness. And we must, as the author of the fourth gospel shows, we must be overcome by the one who has come to come over us. For the light breaking into our lives demands that we be broken into. It demands that we be broken. Truly, truly, I say unto you, Jesus says in one place, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth not. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much wheat. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night, was made new, but he had to suffer the pains of reassessing his whole worldview and everything he held near and dear. He had to let go of his respectability and social dignity as a Pharisee. Nicodemus had to be broken into. The Samaritan woman was made new too, but she had to face squarely that her methods of trying to make herself whole were not working and would never work. She had to stop coping, and she had to start learning to see herself through the eyes of the one who said he knew everything about her, and he did. The man who was an invalid for 38 years was given new legs, new freedom, a new lease on life. But of course, with the more responsibility we get, and the more we are able to do, the more responsibility we have. And the invalid had to learn to embrace the new responsibility he was given and to work with it. Jesus asked him a very pointed question: do you want to get well? And sometimes our answer to that question is, I'm not really sure, because getting well is going to cost me something too. The invalid had to be broken into. Sheldon Van Auken, a dear friend of C.S. Lewis, also had to be broken into. Rejecting Christianity for 30-odd years, Sheldon and his beloved wife, Davy, were drawn irresistibly to faith in Christ. Their newfound faith in Christ gave them a joy and a glee that they had never before experienced. It was springtime in their lives, they said. Everything was exciting and new. And then after a few years of this, Davy fell ill. After visiting her in the hospital and bathing her along with friends with incessant and ardent prayer every single day for months and months and months, Davy succumbed to her illness and died. The light seemed to have gone out. Sheldon became suicidal. Everything looked dreadfully black. The springtime of life seemed dreadfully over, replaced by a cold, cold winter. But upon reflection with C.S. Lewis, Sheldon became convinced that he was being moved into the place where he would be receptive to being broken into by the light of Christ, and that light of Christ might be formed in him more deeply than it ever had been before. You see, Sheldon had always been attached to his wife, Davy, and if it came right down to it, Sheldon realized that he might have chosen her life and devotion to her instead of new life with God. She, in a functional sense, was more his God than God was. For instance, Sheldon says, one of the decisions he had made for their marriage, and made unilaterally, was that they were not going to have children because children would get in the way of their relationship together, dividing their time and energy. In a letter of response to Van Auken, who had been sharing some of this stuff with him, Lewis confirmed his thoughts and articulated why it seemed to him that the loss of his wife, Davy, was indeed God's way of breaking into Sheldon's life with what Lewis inimitably has called a severe mercy. Quote, "One way or another, Sheldon, your undue attachment to your wife had to die. Perpetual springtime is not allowed. You are not cutting the wood of life according to the grain. You have been treated with a severe mercy. You have been brought to see that you were jealous of God. So from us, you have been led back to us and God. It remains now to go on to God and us. There's no other man, Sheldon, in such affliction as yours to whom I would dare write so plainly. And that, if you can believe me, is the strongest proof of my belief in you and love for you. To fools and weaklings, one writes soft things. You spared Davy very wrongly the pains of childbirth. Do not evade your own, the travail you must undergo while Christ is being born in you." Sheldon Van Auken needed to be broken into. And dear friends, the same is true for us. The light that breaks into the world this Christmas wants to break into our lives. But we must be willing to be broken into. We must be willing to be broken. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Allow me to offer a prayer for us. Dear Lord, it's true that we can shield ourselves up and create defenses against you breaking into our lives. We are wounded inside, and we don't want anyone to see the wound. Things have happened to us. Things are happening to us. We feel ashamed sometimes of what we've done, or we just plain feel ashamed of who we are. Oh, give us the courage to allow your light to break in, to make us new. We know, Lord, that it hurts sometimes, that your renewing power is accompanied by pain as well. Pain in the short term for healing in the long term. Pray that you would give us the courage through your Spirit. Father, show us the areas in our lives where darkness still holds sway. Arise, shine, and let your light come into our lives so that your glory may abound in our hearts. And we too may turn with you, Lord Jesus, and be a light unto this world where darkness hides in so many places and sometimes in plain sight. Give us this grace, we pray, as a church. Give us this grace as individuals. And may you be praised, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.